Welcome to California Now, a podcast produced by Visit California. I'm Soterios Johnson. In this episode, we're heading across the Golden Gate Bridge to Marin County. From Point Reyes National Seashore to the sustainable farm and food scene in West Marin, there's a lot to experience in this part of the state. We'll start off with food and farm tours owner Alex Fox, who will give us a taste of what to expect when visiting sustainable farms in West Marin.
Seeing the whole process from start to finish at some of our dairy farms, I think, is always very eye-opening for folks. You know, you get your quart of milk or your little pint of ice cream, and you're not really thinking about all that went into that pint of ice cream or wheel of cheese to make that happen.
After that, we'll get a little fashion inspiration from jewelry designer Lauren Harwell Godfrey.
There's just a lot of good shopping in Marin. I don't think people necessarily know that about this place, but there are some really special places to shop.
And finally, we'll chat with John Finger, the CEO of Hog Island Oyster Company. A waterfront meal at their Boat Oyster Bar in Marshall is one of those classic California experiences that everybody needs to consider.
The meat of the oyster can have really wildly different characteristics, whether it's grassy tones or vegetal or melon.
That's all coming up on California Now. My next guest is Alex Fox. She operates food and farm tours in Marin and Sonoma counties, which offers locals and visitors alike an artisanal tasting experience that connects them to the sustainable and regenerative agriculture of Northern California. Alex, welcome to California Now.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
So, Alex, you were born and raised in Marin County, and your roots run deep. Tell us about your family.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm third generation San Franciscan and second generation Marin County. My grandfather was a part of kind of the first wave of folks moving to quote unquote suburbia of Marin, the new sort of suburban area of San Francisco in the 50s. He moved my mom, who was one at the time, and they made their home in Mill Valley. He was a deliverer of bread and milk to different families in Marin, also worked at a butcher shop. And then I was fortunate enough to grow up in Marin, in Central Marin, and where the business operates is out in the wonderful and beautiful West Marin, where I grew up going to throughout my childhood and loving into adulthood. So I feel very fortunate to be back doing what I love in the place I love.
Sounds like you're living the dream.
I am.
That is so great. Yeah, I want to talk more about food and farm tours in a minute, but first I wanted to ask you, you know, for those who may be unfamiliar with the terms, can you give us a kind of a general definition of what sustainable and regenerative agriculture is?
I mean, it can mean many different things to many different people. The way I like to think about it is that you're working both in harmony with the natural world and nature, and you're making, you know, whether it's your plot of land or whatever it is, a better place for future generations. You can do that with animals. You can do that with crops. I mean, you can do that with all kinds of different things.
Why do you think Marin County has become such a hotbed for this kind of agriculture, and in particular, West Marin?
It's not by accident. We have really deep agricultural roots that go all the way back to the gold rush. A lot of people don't know Marin County was actually the very first agricultural hub of California, long before the Central Valley and Yolo County and some of the places we now think of as the big ag hubs. Post-gold rush, we had huge influx of people. They were settling in San Francisco. That was the port town. But there was no agriculture set up to feed this huge boom in population out west. And so our region, West Marin, which is kind of perfectly situated to take a boat from San Francisco at the time, you know, there was no Highway 1 or Golden Gate Bridge. You could take a schooner boat and bring those ag products down to San Francisco.
What's your company's mission? Tell us more about your goals in supporting the local agriculture community.
So that's a huge part of what I do. The main goal is to keep family farms and small farms and food producers, you know, thriving and alive in our area. You know, it's one thing to have land preserved and, you know, have all those things, but without customers and without people coming out onto farms and into, you know, small food purveyors, you know, they can't survive. And a lot of the farms depend on agritourism. You know, their products aren't enough to support the farm and the staff. And so a huge part of what we do is both supporting farmers and also just giving people a look into what it takes to farm sustainably, what it takes to produce food in a regenerative, sustainable manner, so that they might go home and, you know, if they're not from the area, they might think twice about, you know, which grocery store they go to or connecting with farmers in their area. It's something I really hope to do and that I experience on a daily basis with the tours is that people get really inspired to do that. And that's really our goal and mission.
Your typical guest do they tend to come from Northern California or do they come from further away?
Before the pandemic, I would have told you that it was like 80% quote unquote local folks. And by that, I mean, you know, people from California, you know, as far as LA, but a lot of the times from the greater Bay Area. But we're seeing probably 50-50 now where I get folks from Chicago, from, you know, Florida, from really all over.
All right, let's talk specifically about a few of your tours. Each has a different theme. So let's start with the Taste of Point Reyes tour. Tell us about that experience. Where does it go and what will guests do?
Sure. So that is one of our most popular tours. So we take people to kind of a wide variety in that tour. So that's kind of where I suggest people start because it gives them sort of the widest breadth of experiences in our area. So we start outside the former home of the Cowgirl Creamery, where the Cowgirls got started in the mid-90s. And we could kind of do a deep dive of the history of the area, why farming started in West Marin, how it's continued over the last 150 plus years. And we do that over pastries from Bovine Bakery because that is our most famous and wonderful baker in town. On the weekends, you'll see lines around the block. So when you come on the tour, you get to skip that line and enjoy a curated selection of my personal favorites of the pastries. I mean, it is a food tour. We have to start right away with something yummy. So I tell folks, come hungry, you know, don't eat breakfast. We'll talk about the history. We'll do pastries and then we'll jump into a cheese tasting of maybe three or four different cheese producers in the area. And we talk through the history of each one and, you know, what makes each one special. Folks get to try the different cheeses. And then we move on to one or two seafood stops. So we visit, one of my favorites is the Marshall Store. They're owned by the same folks as Tamales Bay Oyster Company. So one of our oldest shellfish farms, and that's right on the shores of Tamales Bay, which is just one of the most beautiful bays, I think, in the world. We get to have lunch, you know, right on the shores there. We do oysters, we do a plethora of different dishes. People can pick and choose, you know, what they like. And even for the non-seafood people, they have a barbecue, you know, a wood fire kind of barbecue, and they do a mean tri-tip and pulled pork and things like that. And then we move on to Little Wing Farm, which is one of my favorite little slices of heaven. It is a flower and vegetable farm, but she also raises, Molly, the owner there, raises quail. And that's kind of a pretty different and interesting operation she has there. She thinks she's one of the only pasture-based quail operations, maybe in the country, because quail are so small, everything eats them. So she has this enclosure that's pretty neat that allows them to cycle through different runs. And so folks get to get up close and personal with the quail. And then we end the day at a special meadery. People often think I'm saying meat, but mead is actually a honey wine. So this is a champagne honey wine. So they put everything through the champagne method. They are all light, dry, and sparkling, and it's just a great way to end the day.
What about your cheese lovers tour? I've heard that there may be some cuddling of adorable farm animals on that one.
Yes. And I will point people in that direction if animals is important to you, and especially for kids and adult kids as well. You don't have to just be a kid to enjoy it. We start in a really similar way with pastries and cheese tasting as the flavors tour, but then we get right out onto farms pretty much right away. And the whole day is spent out on dairy farms. So we have three different farms. We usually visit two of the three for the day, kind of depending on who's available. We always visit a cow dairy. Cows were the first sort of dairy farm to pop up in our area. And so we have many fourth, fifth, sixth, even seventh generation farmers. So I always like to mix kind of one of the old school style dairy farms, people who have been farming for generations, with sort of a newer, we have a kind of renaissance of farming out in West Marin as well, where newer and sometimes younger folks will come out and start farming and will be first generation farmers. So we'll visit a cow dairy, which tends to be, you know, one of the older generation farms. We'll take a tour. Folks will get to get up close and personal with the cows, usually a baby cow, since to have dairy, you have to have babies. And then we always visit Tallulah Farms and Tamales Farmstead Creamery, which is a remarkable organic goat and sheep dairy that is just, when we talk about regenerative agriculture, I mean, Tamara and David, the owners there, are just doing everything so in line with the land, honoring the indigenous Coast Miwok, who were the original inhabitants of their land, and they're producing some incredible cheeses on that land. In fact, I have folks who say, oh, I don't like goat cheese. Like, should we really go there? And I'll get them there. And by the end of it, they're buying the cheese. The people that, you know, quote unquote, won't eat
like
goat
cheese. You haven't had goat cheese like this before, right?
No, exactly.
I mean, if you could guess, like, how many different cheeses would you say guests get to taste on this tour?
Gosh, at least 12 to 15.
Now, you also do custom tours, right? So how do those work?
Yeah, exactly. So the first two tours we talked about are tours that you could sign up with two people, four people, six people. You can join other groups. So our minimum is four. So if, you know, you're a couple and you want to come out on a date, you can, you know, email me and we'll get you paired up with other folks. For people that have a big enough size group, the custom tours are a great way to go, especially if you have specific dietary restrictions. If there's people in your group that, you know, must have wine included, or you only want cheese, or you know, love oysters, whatever it is. Especially if you have kids, or you have a kind of a, we do a lot of multi-generational tours. So people, you know, come bring their kids, they bring their parents. It's, you know, you want something that's geared towards short attention spans and different accessibility requirements. So I always recommend a custom tour if you have, you know, at least six people or so, and we'll do put together kind of a customized day for you. So we can pick and choose both from the Flavors of Point Reyes or the Cheese Lovers Tour. But we also have over 25 to 30 different other tour partners that we partner with that just aren't available every day. So we don't put them on our public, you know, tours that book out every weekend, but they're fabulous places. And some of those operators and places that we love are McAvoy Ranch. They're famous for their organic olive oil and wine. And so that's always a wonderful stop. It feels like you're in the hills of Tuscany. You're doing a guided olive oil tasting. We go on both a private behind the scenes tour there that isn't open to the public. So it's not something you could just sign up for. It's something they do kind of specifically for us. And we have two places on the ranch where we do these wonderful olive oil and wine side-by-side tastings. One that overlooks all of Sonoma County up in their milk barn up on the hill, and another that's in this just incredible feat of architecture. We call it the pagoda. Another one is Valley Ford Creamery, and their cheese is just knockout, incredible. They do amazing sit-down lunches. So for our bigger groups, for our corporate offsites, we go there. So yeah, there's just a plethora. We work with a distillery in Petaluma. If people want to try their hand at spirits and cocktails, we can add that in. So lots of different options.
What would you say are some things on all of your tours that have really been popular with guests, or maybe they've, you know, been eye-opening and remarkable for them?
Yeah, totally. I think seeing the whole process from start to finish at some of our dairy farms, I think, is always very eye-opening for folks. You know, you get your quart of milk or your little pint of ice cream, and you're not really thinking about all that went into that pint of ice cream or wheel of cheese to make that happen. And what folks remark on time and time again is just the amount of, you know, how many people work there, how much goes into that, the care of the animals, the, you know, from start to finish, how they have to plant, you know, seeds in these fields for there to be ryegrass for the cows to eat, and how they do that. You know, they have a nutritionist that comes in and measures the soil so they know how to supplement, what supplemental feeds and minerals do the cows need. You know, things like that, where by the time they're eating the cheese, they're enjoying it in a way that they never have before. It's always rewarding for me to see folks light up and get excited about that. And it's part of our mission. And it's just something that is so special and makes every tour different because every person is different. So, you know, it never gets boring.
That's great. All right. I want to switch gears now and talk about kind of like your Marin County. So let's talk about some favorite spots in Marin. Like, what do you like to do in the area? Where do you like to go?
You know, I picked a lot of the places on the tour because they're the places I like to go. So I do when I'm not out in the West Marin area, and you know, Marin's a big place. We have West Marin, which encompasses Point Reyes, the Point Reyes National Seashore, Inverness, Tamales, all the way out to Dillon Beach, which is one of my absolute favorite places. In fact, I was there yesterday. We had this rare 68 degree January day. In fact, I think it was the hottest day on record in January. So my fiance and I went out to Dillon Beach, where it's a just incredible beach. You can bring dogs. We have a little dog. So we brought our dog out there, beach blanket, a picnic, and just soaked up the sun, went for a beach walk. They have an incredible restaurant out there called the Coastal Kitchen that's just phenomenal, as well as a general store that serves soft serve buffalo ice cream, which is another treat that I always recommend people do in our area. They also carry that at the Palace Market in downtown Point Reyes Station. It's way in the back by the deli. It's kind of a local secret. You have to go, you know, all the way back to the meat counter, and you will find Buffalo Gelato Soft Serve. I just think it's one of the best things in the entire world. The Marshall Store also serves it at their location. So there's lots of different places you can get it. We have a dairy here called Double Eight Dairy. It's in Valley Ford. And that's where they source all the buffalo milk to make the soft serve base. And it truly is just one of the best things ever.
Wow. So many amazing recommendations. Alex, this has been really great. Thank you so much for joining us on California Now.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been so fun.
Alex Fox is the owner and operator of Food and Farm Tours in Marin and Sonoma counties. To learn more about booking a tour, visit foodandfarmtours.com. That's foodandfarmtours.com. This is California Now. My next guest is Lauren Harwell Godfrey. She's an award-winning luxury jewelry designer based in Marin County. Her brightly colored, handcrafted, ethically sourced designs take inspiration from patterns of the African diaspora and are highly sought after by collectors. Lauren, welcome to California Now.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
How did you go from being a creative director at an ad agency to an award-winning high-end jewelry designer?
It's actually kind of a very strange and winding path. I left the advertising industry after 15 years of work because I just wasn't feeling as creatively fulfilled by it anymore. And I ended up going to culinary school because I thought that sort of was an interesting way to take my creative instincts and my art direction skills and potentially, you know, do food styling or that sort of thing. And I just found that I didn't really have a whole lot to add to the culinary world. And I knew I wanted to do something that was more on my own, though, than going back into advertising and doing work for other brands. And I thought about, if I was going to start making something, what would I want that to be? What do I want more of in my life? And that led me to jewelry.
And like, long story short, you ended up building a sought after luxury brand. I mean, you've won awards. You've been featured in major publications like Vogue and New York Times. To what do you attribute your success?
You know, I'm really fortunate because I have a very dear friend who had a fine jewelry showroom, and I reached out to her when I decided I wanted to make the leap from fashion jewelry to fine jewelry and said, hey, you know, can you help me? Because I really didn't know how to produce the jewelry. I hadn't gone to school for it. It was new for me, but there was something in me that felt like this was a good path for me to go on. And my friend, her name's Randy Malofsky. She's also based in California and has a showroom called For Future Reference. She was like, don't do it. She tried to talk me out of it. She's like, it's really expensive. It's really hard to hit, you know, and have a brand that people are interested in. It's going to take, you know, years to even get a little bit of traction. I think this is going to be a challenge for you because you're used to being successful. So I ignored her. I think if I knew what I knew now, I may not have, but I'm so glad I did. And I went into it a little bit naively because she was right. But fortunately, you know, we have, and I really, again, attribute a lot of my success to being part of a great showroom and having a mentor in the business like her to help get me up to speed.
What's your favorite kind of jewelry to design? I mean, is it bracelets, necklaces, earrings, something else?
That's a great question. You know, It's funny, I go through phases. And I think, again, it's sort of a like, what do I want more of right now? So if I'm excited about something, or if I'm like, hey, I feel like this finger needs a new ring, I'm into making rings. But, you know, just to be very honest about it all. But currently, I feel like I'm in an earring phase. I'm really enjoying earrings. There's something about the fact that there are two of them, they can match, they maybe don't have to match. There's like all these different things you can do with earrings. There's different places on the ear that they can be worn. There's something speaking to me on the earring front right now.
All right, let's talk about Harwell Godfrey. I mean, where does it fit into the spectrum of luxury jewelry on the market today?
That's a great question. I think it fits in a place for a consumer who has a lot of personal style and maybe wants a bit of a more bold take on their jewelry and how they're wearing it. I'm known as being very colorful, somewhat maximalist. And again, the things that I make are intended to be layered. You can do that or not. But I think a lot of the people who collect my work tend to want to layer it, and they are pretty fashion forward.
So who is wearing your pieces? Are there any celebrities of note you've worked with or maybe even spotted with?
Kamala Harris actually has worn a lot of my pieces. Her niece, Mina Harris, is a friend of mine. So she has gifted Kamala pieces that I've made, which has been so incredible. She actually wore it, Kamala, I think she was like the first vice president to march in a gay pride march. And she wore one of my necklaces to that. So I thought that was really cool. I support a lot of charities, and one of them is Every Town for Gun Safety. So Blake Lively and Julianne Moore, who are very big advocates of gun safety, got behind that and they wore those necklaces. And who else? Hillary Swank has one. I was told that Rihanna bought something, although I haven't seen her photographed in it yet. I feel very fortunate. There's some very cool celebrities.
Yeah, very. That's really amazing. I mean, so can you describe your aesthetic? I mean, according to your website, you draw inspiration from ancient textiles and the patterns of the African diaspora. So for people who haven't seen your work, what does that look like?
It's very pattern forward in a geometric way. So I love textiles, and I do in my home actually have textiles that I've encased in glass and hang up on the wall as art. And there's just something about kind of the geometry and the surprising shapes that you can find and the colors and the way it all comes together that I find incredibly appealing. And so I like to reflect that in my work. I have a cigar band, which is kind of a known style of jewelry that's like a taller ring. It's like kind of a thick ring. And, you can see them. Sometimes they're all gold. Sometimes they're in pave diamonds. But mine, I have an all diamond version, but it's like a bunch of different shapes of diamonds that fit together and make a pattern. So that's very typical of what I'll do, which is kind of surprise people with the details.
All right. So listen, let's switch gears right now and talk about the place you call home, Marin County. As you told us earlier, you grew up in Southern California and kind of bounced around a bit. Why did you settle in Marin County?
I actually originally came from Southern California up to San Francisco and went to school at the University of San Francisco. And that's what brought me up here originally. And then I loved it, so I stayed, and I was in the city for a long time. I moved to San Francisco in 1993, went to New York for a little while for an advertising job, but ended up coming back to the Bay Area. And then I moved to Marin in 2020, and it was like pandemic panic. We had a place in San Francisco and a place in Sonoma, which I loved both, but I ended up spending more time in Sonoma and realized I was in a phase of life where I was ready to not be in the city anymore. I didn't want to be in Sonoma exactly because it's kind of far from SFO and I travel a lot. So we looked to like meet in the middle and found this amazing home in Marin. It's a 1938 Spanish colonial. And I fell in love with the house. And now I'm like in love with the house, but also just in love with Marin. I think it's such a beautiful place to be.
Absolutely. And for those who don't know, Marin County is, something of a bedroom community to San Francisco. So can you describe it a little more and what's it like to live there?
Marin's amazing. It's beautiful. Like it's very much Northern California, outdoorsy. So there's, lots of redwood trees. Like the street I live on, I can go out my door and be on a hike. I walk up my street to the end and then it's called the open space area. So it's just hiking trails everywhere. And I think we're known for hiking and mountain biking and all of that. And it's a beautiful place to do all of those things. it's almost like we have these little hamlets. There's a lot of little towns that that make up Marin. They're all a little bit different, have their own identities. I don't know. It's just a very special place.
Yeah. I mean, when you talk about like dining experiences, I mean, San Francisco is pretty hard to beat. I mean, it's one of the world's best food destinations. So let's kind of, you know, dive into that a little bit. How does Marin County deliver on the food front?
There are some amazing restaurants here. I think closest to me, Stillwater is one of my favorites. That's up in Fairfax and it's delicious. It's funny. I don't even know how to describe it. I think it's kind of just like California and the fact that it's like you can get a fish taco, but you could also get a great salad that has nothing to do with Mexican food. You know, kind of, it's a little of a mishmash of styles of food, but it's like this very lovely, like they have a great chicken sandwich and a great hamburger. And again, delicious fish tacos, great salads. And one of the best margaritas that I've been able to find around here. And I also think Sushi Ron, which is very old school in Sausalito, it's been around forever, but they really deliver on the sushi. I think it's delicious. I go there very frequently. I don't know. They just do everything well. And this is really funny and it's very basic, but I love a good California roll and they do the best California roll. Real crab. It's just perfect. I couldn't love it more. There's a new place that just opened up in Corte Madera called Quito, and it's a taco shop and they do a delicious carnitas taco. So I go there for lunch all the time and they do Taco Tuesdays, which I'm a big fan of. There's a couple of new things that have opened in the Marin Mart that I'm really excited about, like Suvla, which I used to frequent when I lived in the city, and it's Greek and they do amazing like wraps and salads and my favorite kind of Greek style soup. And then Lovsky, which is a Jewish deli, and they kind of say Jew-ish because they do fun things like they have matzo ball soup, but they'll do it in a Thai style. So it's kind of fun because it's like takes that concept and does some interesting things with it, but that's really delicious. And Pizza Pico, that's a favorite. There's a lot of really good food here.
Sounds it. My gosh. And what about like farmers markets? I would imagine that there's some really great ones in Marin. So what are some of your favorites?
There are amazing ones in Marin. There's like three that I have on rotation all the time. There's one on Thursdays that's over in San Rafael that's amazing. And I like that one because it's a Thursday morning, you know, morning to afternoon. So it's not as busy as the weekend ones. But on Saturday, there's a really good one in the at the Marin Mart in Larkspur. And it's small, like it's a really good edit, but really great things. And I love flowers and there's a very good flower vendor there. So I love to go pick up fresh flowers. And Sunday at the Civic Center in San Rafael is like a gigantic, it's like the biggest farmer's market I've ever seen. It's huge and it always gets very busy, but it is incredible. There's like everything from, you know, the fruits and vegetables, but then there's like fresh cheese purveyors and fresh pasta and like food trucks. It's really amazing.
You know, you mentioned that you love the outdoors. I know you said you do have a really beautiful hike right outside your door, but what are some of your other kind of activities or spots you like to hit to experience the beautiful nature?
There's another beautiful hike nearby, Phoenix Lake, which is over in Ross. It's a really beautiful one. And you can kind of like walk through Ross, which has beautiful homes. So that's a really nice one. I enjoy playing tennis. I find that I don't get to do it as often as I would like to, but there are a lot of tennis courts in and around Marin. So that's a really fun thing to do here. My son just learned how to ride a bike. So we're at parks a lot, bike riding and, you know, hanging out. But I love to walk. Like I'm just a walker. So for me, cruising around, even in the little, you know, downtowns of the little towns that are here is a lot of fun. Just peeking my head into stores. I've spent a lot of time at the Country Mart too, which is an outdoor shopping experience. So there's, you know, I'm there a lot. So if I open a store there, it's probably going to be trouble because.
Oh, that's funny. Well, we're going to get to shopping in a minute. But before we do that, I wanted to know, like, say I'm coming to Marin County for the first time. What's a must do? What do you tell people like you have to do this if you're coming to Marin?
That's a good one. You know, one thing I really like to do, and I haven't mentioned either of these places yet, is in Sausalito, I really enjoy taking people to Heath Ceramics. You know, I think they've been around since the 50s, I believe. It's very much a native to this area place where they create different ceramic things, you know, everything from, you know, dishes to ceramic tiles to vases and things to decorate your home with. And then they also like honor different artists and have things there. So I just think that's really interesting because it has true Marin heritage. I love that. And right near it is a place called Fish, also in Sausalito. And that one is right on the water. And it's a great place to go and have like a fresh fish sandwich, or they do a really good Dungeness crab roll and like things like that, which I think is very fun. I also love going out to Point Reyes and cruising around out there. The downtown there is super interesting. There are really good food purveyors there. And then again, you're not far from kind of Oyster Central and Tamales Bay, where you can go to Hog Island, you can go to Marshall's Store, you can do that sort of thing. There's great kayaking out there. That's really fun. Yeah, I just think there's some really interesting things in and around this place that are like from and of this place.
All right, so let's get to shopping now. So if I wanted to go, say, for a day of shopping, I mean, you're the owner of a luxury jewelry brand. I imagine that you've got your go-to stores that you always hit. So can you share a couple of your local favorites?
I totally can. Again, I feel like the Marin Mart is sort of the place to go for shopping. So for clothes, I really love Hero Shop. I think they have a really lovely edit. The owner, Emily Holt, does a great job. It's interesting. That's women's clothing. They have really great things in there. Also at the Marin Mart is The Real Real. And I've really been into finding clothing that's been, you know, lightly used and or accessories, handbags and stuff. I think there's something kind of great about that from a sustainability standpoint. But also sometimes you can find things that not everybody's wearing because it's not like the in season thing. It's like something that's interesting that's from a past season. So I think there's something fun about mixing things from The Real Real in, and they carry really high-end brands like, you know, Chanel and Hermes and higher end things. So I spend some time over there as well. And then I don't know if this qualifies as shopping necessarily, but there's a gallery that came to Marin that used to be based in San Francisco called the Anthony Meyer Gallery. And I do shop with them because I buy art through them, and they're in Mill Valley. And my newest retailer locally is a store called Eli in Mill Valley. And I love them because they have this amazing edit of clothes and fine jewelry that's really great. And they carry some brands that I'm very excited to be alongside. So there's just a lot of good shopping in Marin. I don't think people necessarily know that about this place, but there are some really special places to shop.
Absolutely. Yeah, to shop and to eat and to explore, you know, the natural world, it sounds like. Well, Lauren, this has really been great. Thank you so much for joining us in California Now.
I'm so happy to have been here. Thank you so much.
Lauren Harwell Godfrey is the award-winning designer behind Harwell Godfrey Fine Jewelry. To learn more about her work and shop her designs, visit harwellgodfrey.com. That's harwellgodfrey.com. This is California Now. My next guest is a marine biologist who runs one of the only oyster hatcheries on the West Coast. John Finger is the co-founder and CEO of Hog Island Oyster Company in Tamales Bay, where he says the conditions for sustainable oyster farming are one of a kind and produce some of the best oysters you will ever taste. John, welcome to California Now.
Oh, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
So let's start with your background. You were a marine biologist before you started the Hog Island Oyster Company, right?
Oh, boy. So I grew up on the East Coast, on the East End of Long Island, New York, fishing, clamming, hunting, went to school for marine biology, was always into food at the same time, worked in restaurants, and just really was always in the salt water, whether it was surfing or fishing or whatever, and really thought marrying the two, kind of my love of the oceans and food. And that kind of led me to this. The funny story is this: oysters were the only seafood I didn't eat growing up. I was a fish guy. I was going to get into growing or raising fish.
Oh, that's funny. And you ended up with oysters. That's amazing. So when did you get the idea to start your own oyster farm? And why did you think it was a good idea?
I came out to California for a couple of years. You know, being a surfer, I thought it'd be a fun place to live for a couple of years, and started knocking on doors. And the first job was for an oyster company. And I thought, this is a way to get my foot in the door in aquaculture. Over the 2.5 years or so that I worked for this company, they were based down in the Monterey Bay area, I kind of fell in love with the shellfish and the oyster business because of the connection to place and the environmental connection, and was even at that point thinking of going back east and doing it. And I had worked a little bit in Tamales Bay and had way more connections out here. Tamales Bay, I tell people all the time, reminds me more of the East Coast than any place in California. So I decided to start my oyster farm out here.
Where exactly does that name Hog Island come from? Is there a real Hog Island?
There is indeed. So we're in Tomales Bay, which is in West Marin County. Like I said, an hour and a half north of San Francisco. We're bordered on one side by the Point Reyes National Seashore, great place to visit in and of itself. And there's an island in the north end of the bay, very close to where our first 5-acre oyster beds were located. And we wanted a unique name. So we came up with the name Hog Island to start with.
I heard it all started with planting a seed in Tomales Bay. Tell us more about those first days and how you got it going.
You know, people don't realize this, but almost all the oysters consumed in this country are farmed. And when we say farm, we're counting on Mother Nature for the most part. But the very beginning is in a hatchery where oysters create larvae that are microscopic and are free swimming for about 2 weeks. And after about 2 weeks, they lose the ability to swim. And they fall out of the water column and they cement themselves as something and start forming shells out of minerals in the seawater. You know, we grow them up a little bit to 1 millimeter or so, and that's what we call oyster seed. They actually look a lot like granola, and you have to put them in some sort of mesh tray or bag or something out in the bay to keep them safe from predators and to keep them from sinking into the mud. And loosely, you're thinning and grading and sorting those along the way for the next year of their life till they get to a market size.
Incredible. What is it about Tomales Bay that makes for great oyster farming?
Well, Tomales Bay is located in part of California where we have all this great upwelling that happens, especially in the spring and summer months. We get northwest winds that create this upwelling that brings a lot of nutrient-rich water to the surface. And then Tomales Bay has great exchange with the ocean and a little bit of residence time where you get the sun shining and you get these algae blooms, which is really what you need to grow really good oysters. At the same time, it stays fairly cold most of the year. And I mean, I just personally think that produces a better oyster. But it's really about that exchange with the ocean, that nutrient-rich water, good tidal cycle in and out through the bay, and really creates a great oyster.
Now, I know you have a variety of Hog Island restaurants around the Bay Area, including a spot at the Ferry Building in San Francisco and another at the Oxbow Public Market in Napa. But we want to focus on the Boat Oyster Bar in Marshall. What makes that location special?
That's the OG location, if you will. We have a shoreside facility in Marshall, California, that we've been at for, you know, the over 40 years we've been in business. And we very organically developed it into an area that people could come and stop at. So we built a whole filtered seawater system there where we have live tanks, where we bring all the oysters in that we harvest. After we sort them by size and clean them, we put them in these tanks, and they're chilled seawater tanks. We started doing that and started to realize, hey, we're on Highway 1. We can open up the gates, and we did that, and people started stopping by for oysters. And then we said, gee, it'd be great if people can eat these oysters. And so we slowly developed this, what we call the Boat Oyster Bar, which is a picnic area. You're there. You're at the farm. You get to see the guys bring it in, loads of oysters, sorting them, grading them, really, really get a view into what the business is about. And it's just right on the shoreline there. And it, you know, it's a very basic menu. You know, we do raw oysters, barbecued oysters. We do a couple of salads. We'll do crudos because we buy a lot of local fish off of fishermen. So we try to do that as well and have a nice beer and wine list. Some of the oyster fanatics I've met over the years call it a pilgrimage. If you're an oyster fanatic, you have to go there because it's a very special place that way, that, you know, it's not like a lot of other places.
The menu at that location is quite limited compared to your other restaurants. Why is that? Is that just because it's kind of remote?
Yeah, well, not only that, we wanted it to be rustic and stay that way. It's just whatever we can grill. And we wanted it to really be primarily about the oysters. 2 miles down the road, we have a restaurant called Tony's Seafood that we took over 5 or 6 years ago. It's a 3-generation, 7-year-old restaurant that we now own. It's on the water in Tomales Bay. So if you're out in Marshall and you do want a full restaurant experience, we do have that for you. We do a lot of educational tours at the farm where you can come. And this is something we're, you know, a little bit newer, we're developing. You can learn about oysters. You can get shucking lessons. You can have a tasting. And then you can still go down to Tony's and have lunch afterwards.
Speaking of the Boat Oyster Bar location, I know an episode of The Chef Show featuring Roy Choi and Jon Favreau was filmed at that location. What was that experience like?
That was great. Those guys were really, really fun and easy to work with. I mean, it's funny because people don't always realize that for however long that show was, a half-hour show, they spent the entire day there. you know, I guess John Favreau had had some experience out there. His wife grew up in Sonoma, had been out there and knew about us. Roy as well, being in the food world. So they really ate it up, you know, especially.
Totally.
We took them out of the water. They loved what we did out there. Our farm chef at that point, Co, was, you know, had a blast working with Roy. I think we did some seaweed salads. We did, you know, a number of cool little things. And it was just, you know, you could just tell how much they were into it.
They especially fell hard for your barbecued oysters. They ate a ton of those. What's the secret sauce to your barbecued oysters?
You know, we do a lot of grilled oysters at all our restaurants. And, you know, garlic is always friendly with oysters and stuff. And there was an old sort of traditional recipe in the neighborhood that was really a sort of a red sauce, traditional sort of barbecue sauce on oysters. And we kind of did a riff on that. This is a chipotle bourbon garlic butter.
Ooh.
So it's got everything you need, you know, on there. And it's, you know, it's got a little bit of sweetness, a little bit of smokiness, and then the garlic just, you know, tops it off. And it's just super popular. We actually sell it online now. You know, we serve it there at the boat. We serve it down at Tony's. You know, sometimes our other places, you know, people just can't get enough of it.
All right. So let's say I'm coming to the Boat Oyster Bar for the very first time. What should I know? And more importantly, what should I order? Obviously, the barbecued oysters are one thing, but
you should know it is a farm. I would advise against wearing high heel shoes. Depending on the time of year, layers is always good. We talk about Tamales Bay as a mini San Francisco Bay sometimes. The weather can change pretty quickly. You get to walk in, like I said, and through and past a lot of the farming activities. You know, sometimes kids really love that because we've got big trucks and forklifts and get to see all that cool stuff. And then in terms of, you know, the menu, you know, I'm a big raw oyster fan. You know, I think trying raw oysters from the place that they're grown is a really, really unique and special experience.
I mean, if you're going to try raw oysters, that's the place to do it,
that's
right?
That's the place to do it. I mean, they're coming right out of the water. You know, we have our filter seawater tanks right there. So we're pulling the oysters right out of the water. You're getting to taste them immediately.
You know, John, some people are afraid of eating oysters. Why do you think that is?
Well, it's funny. I think back when, you know, I didn't eat oysters as a kid growing up, but, you know, part of it's texture. I think it's an acquired taste in terms of the texture of oysters. There's this, you know, misnomer that a lot of foodborne illnesses come from oysters. And I think it's just the data doesn't really show that up. But, you know, at the same time, I think it's something that people can be a little afraid of. You know, we take a lot of extra care. I mentioned our filter seawater tanks. Everything we harvest goes into those. They're UV sterilized for 24 hours. We really try to take care all along the steps of the way.
What do you recommend for someone trying oysters for the first time?
I really do think trying them raw is a way to try them, and trying maybe a smaller oyster. So if you're going into a restaurant, asking a server, you know, where are your smallest oysters? Can I try one of those? And then if you put anything on it, just lemon. We make cocktail sauce in our restaurants, but we don't put it out on the plate unless somebody asks us, because I really think it hides the flavor of the oyster. We do make a mignonette. We call it a hogwash. It's our sort of signature mignonette. But even that, I say, if you're trying an oyster for the first time and you want to taste it, don't put that on. People joke about this all the time. You actually do want to chew the oysters. It's not about putting the oyster in your mouth and swallowing it, because there's two parts to an oyster flavor. There's the liquor or seawater that's going to be in there that the oyster has been holding on to inside of its shell. But it's also the meat of the oyster can have really wildly different characteristics, whether it's grassy tones or vegetal or melon or smoky sweet, which is how a lot of people characterize our oyster, because it's very rich in glycogen. So you do want to chew the oyster a bit.
You mentioned the farm tours that Hog Island offers, in addition to the restaurants that you guys have. Let's dig a little deeper into those. What can visitors expect to see and do on the tours? I mean, I assume some shucking is involved.
Well, it depends. There's different levels of tours. You can come and just learn about oysters, where we will show you around a little bit. We have some of the baby oyster seed on hand, and we'll talk a little bit about how we do this and the different containers we grow them in and the sites. We can taste the oysters that we're growing in that bay, or maybe a couple different varieties side by side. You could also do shucking lessons. We've done that for teams. You know, companies will bring teams out and do shucking lessons. we can upgrade it and do more food there where we do, you know, some of the food we have at the boat. So it really, really depends. We can tailor it to however much time or shortness of time people have.
That's really cool. Now, I know oyster farming obviously is a busy gig for you, but we want to know more about what you do when you're not working. So, like, what do you like to do for fun in Marin County?
I still surf, and I surf out in the Point Reyes National Seashore, which is a spectacular place. And just the beaches out there are phenomenal. You know, a lot of people don't know we've got these beautiful long beaches out there, a lot of wildlife. There's an elk herd out there if you want to go out and look at the elk. A great little couple little towns on the other side of the bay from where we are is, you know, Inverness is over there. Great little restaurant called Saltwater Oyster Depot, somebody we sell some oysters to. I do that. I actually mountain bike. I live a little closer into civilization. So I live in a place called the San Geronimo Valley, which is back towards towns like Fairfax and San Anselmo. A lot of people don't realize there's the flanks of Mount Tamalpais. They're sort of the birthplace of mountain biking, much as possible. And a lot of great hiking. There are trails and all over the place. We're blessed with not only the National Seashore, there's a great little park called Samuel P. Taylor State Park that follows a stream that dumps into Tamales Bay. It has lots of great hiking and redwoods and picnic areas. So yeah, we're pretty blessed in Marin County.
What else do you like to eat besides oysters? I mean, what are some of your favorite neighborhood spots to grab a bite to eat?
Oh my gosh. There's a couple places, you know, where I live in San Geronimo Valley, and it's a way that people on Sir Francis Drake will access out to the Point Reyes National Seashore and back is Arti, A-R-T-I, a little Indian restaurant that is one of my go-to places. They have a chicken tikka kebab that's to die for, a lamb karahi, which is another great dish. You know, there's a couple places. Fairfax is a cool little town. You know, very bohemian. It's got, you know, a spectacular Japanese Ishikawa restaurant called Village Sake that's really, really good. They've got a lot of simple grill items, you know, whether it's a grilled steak skewer or chicken or you know, a couple of really great, you know, sashimi, depending on what fish. And they have an incredible sake list, really, really good. So there's another little great place, Mas Manos, which is a sort of Central American, I wouldn't say necessarily Mexican, but Central American, some of the best pork tacos I've ever had.
All right. So say I'm coming to visit Marin County for the first time. What would you recommend I do besides visit you and Marshall, of course?
I definitely think Fairfax is a cool little stop for one. There's the big places like, you know, Muir Woods, it gets very, very busy. You know, even before you get out to West Marin, you know, I think Sausalito is a really cool town to walk around on the water. The same with Tiburon.
These are towns right across the bay from San Francisco, so you're
there. Yeah, and Marin Headlands, which has gotten more popular, which is as you go over the Golden Gate Bridge, is all the parkland that's to the west. There's incredible trails and a couple of neat ocean beaches out that way and some incredible views back to San Francisco. I really do, like I spend a lot of time out there, but I think the Point Reyes National Seashore is spectacular. You can go out to the lighthouse, you know, which is out at Point Reyes itself. There's a Tule elk herd that's out there that's been growing. This time of year is really cool. There's a big elephant seal population, which, have you ever seen elephant seals?
Yeah, I have actually. Yeah, they're pretty amazing.
Yeah, and they're like growing. It's funny, being a surfer, we kind of get a little chagrined because they've taken over a couple of beaches that we lose access to for a couple of months. But the colony has grown, and this time of year, they're all over Drake's Beach where you can go and watch them, and they're just incredible animals to see. So, you know, and I think all the hiking opportunities out there, whether it's you know, up in the ridges where you can hike for miles through, you know, Madrone and Bishop Pine and all that, or the beaches, like I said, I just think it's a one-of-a-kind place.
Absolutely. John, this has been so wonderful. I've learned so much about Marin County, your experience there and your Marin County, and so much about oysters. So thank you so much for joining us in California Now.
Sure. Well, thanks for having me.
John Finger is the co-founder and CEO of Hog Island Oyster Company in Tomales Bay. To learn more about Hog Island and how to get its delicious oysters, visit hogislandoysters.com. That's hogislandoysters.com. This is California Now. Thank you for listening to California Now. We hope to see you in the Golden State soon. This podcast is produced by Visit California. I'm your host, Sotirios Johnson. Our producer is Kate Eppelboim. Jessica Marshall is our technical lead. John Godfrey is our editorial director. And the theme song is by Aaron Taus, additional music by Casey. You can find our show on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts.